Welcome to Farming Aotearoa with agricultural journalist Peter Burke. Welcome to this first edition of Farming Aotearoa for 2024. I'm Catherine Scullin, and with me in the studio of Coast Access Radio is agricultural journalist Peter Burke. While some of us may have been on holiday, farmers, growers and orchardists certainly haven't. So, Peter, what has happened over the past couple of months? And welcome.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year and all that to your audiences here from down here in the beautiful sunny Horowhenua. Yeah, it's been an interesting period of time, sort of from December through till now. And while Wellington sort of closes up over Christmas, we know it sort of goes into hibernation, as does Europe at the same in the summer holidays as well. But quite a lot's been happening. And just before Christmas, there was a report came out by the Ministry for Primary Industries. It's called the SOPI report, which means the situation and outlook for primary industries. It's one of these bureaucratic names that has to have an acronym, which makes it all very special and beautiful. But it was a rather confronting report, which didn't really tell us what we didn't already know, but it put it down in paper what was actually happening.
Okay.
At the moment, the country is in through, I think, to fair to say, a downturn. And people won't use the word recession, but downturn in terms of most aspects of farming. And I think what we saw was that the exports of products really went down quite significantly. Dairy was down by 7%, but the overall drop in exports was quite significant. And down from something like 54 billion, down from 54 to 57 to 54. So there's a big drop in what you might expect. And that is simply a whole lot of reasons for that. It's mainly the sheep meat area that's causing the problem, but dairy as well. Sheep meat, lamb now, the average farmer's getting about $85 for a lamb. They would have got $120 a couple of years ago. So you can see what I mean by that. There's some big things there. I think, I was going to get those figures. The exports are down by $2 billion, so that's quite a big number to drop down. And while it's scheduled to pick up a bit in the next few years, it's not going to be suddenly a bounce back immediately. It's not like a yo-yo. It's going to take time for that to pick up again. So I think the answer really is that, for the next couple of years, we're going to have some pretty tough times. The word is, there's another report that came out just recently as well, which is by Rabobank, which are very agriculturally connected. And again, they produce the same numbers around the meat industry, which again showing that the meat exports are down. The volumes are up, interestingly enough, but the prices are down. So we're producing as much as we always have, if not more, but we're not getting the same money for it.
Do we know why?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of things around that. I think the C word is the big one, China, in all of this.
Oh, okay.
China is an interesting market. It's our largest single market for everything, pretty much, and particularly for sheep meat and for dairy. And they're the two biggies, in a sense. Horticulture's coming up, but horticulture's not doing too badly in China, just as an aside. But China's been through some pretty rough economic times. It had a property boom and bust. It had COVID, and the average consumer in China is quite sceptical of things at the moment. They're not going the way they perhaps should have gone. And so hence, the idea of selling bulk lamb and stuff like that to China is decreased. The other problem also is our great old friends across the Tasman, the people that specialise in underground bowling.
Oh, those Australians.
The Strines.
Strines.
They have fish and chips. Fish and chips.
You say fish and chops.
Yeah, that's right. They say fish and chips.
Fish and chips, mate.
Yeah, and they go the chippery. But they also have been dumping lamb on the international market. They're dropping down their flock, and that's going all over the world, particularly to China. And the thing for them has been that they've just got a free trade agreement with China, so they're able to sell China at lower prices. That's affecting us. That's also affecting the whole world market. So between the Aussies and the Chinese, things aren't so sweet at the moment in terms of sheep meat. Beef's a little bit better, but it's still not the perfect solution there. Again, we're caught up with China on that front. And the general economic downturn is really starting to bite. Dairy is picking up in China a little bit. The word, the latest word on dairy is that it's coming back. We're seeing opening up China. The inventories of dairy whole milk powder in China are slowly dropping, which means that they're going to run out of it, and therefore they're going to start buying it. And the latest prices from the global dairy trade have been improving all along. We're seeing the farm gate milk price to farmers being constantly upgraded to better than it was. And that's a very, very big, you know, aspect to dairy. That's quite good. The other thing, though, is that we've got to look at the overall picture. And I was talking to one farm accountant down in Christchurch who has been around the ag sector for eons, longer than I have even, which is quite long. But he was saying this is the worst economic downturn the farming sector has suffered since the 60s, early 60s. And the reason for that is that normally when we get a downturn, we'll get a drop in, say, export values, but the farm costs will be held. Or the farm costs will rise and the export values will go up. So therefore, there's a balancing act in there. Somewhere along the line, it evens out. This time around, of course, we've got lower export prices and we've got higher input costs to farmers. So it's costing more to produce what is being produced than it traditionally has been. And that's a whole lot of factors in it. And that's where we come into this whole area. Do I start to use a big word, geopolitical? I can barely pronounce it. But anyway, that is where that sits. And that is around things such as the general global economy is flat. We know that other countries have got inflation like we have. People are being careful about what they buy. They're still going to eat, but they may eat cheaply rather than, and we can all do that. Therefore, that affects us. The other factor that's in that is the issue around the war in Ukraine. And now, of course, the Middle East, and that's a real problem, actually. And I don't think people understand that quite so well. They're raving on about the political stuff, but actually, from a New Zealand perspective, that is a potential to cause real problems. If New Zealand can't get its exports through the Suez Canal, then they're going to take the long trip. That's going to put up freight rates. It means that there's less return to farmers. But conversely, it's going to mean higher costs for things that we buy from those places. Now, some of the things we buy, such as fertilizer, I'm told some of it doesn't come through the sewers, but some does. So it's a bit of a mixed bag in that one, but people are not, I don't see any of our wonderful so-called lamestream media getting out there and taking into this thing very seriously. They're all about the fight in Gaza, which is important. I'm not trying to decry that, and I'm not going to get into the politics of that. But the Houthi attacks on ships in the Red Sea is a real worry to New Zealand, yeah. And a big worry. And someone was telling me the other day they thought that if this continued on, it has the potential to be something of a global problem that we had back in the COVID days with Suez, where there was simply a clog-up of things, and that could be a real issue. There's a lot sitting there in the whole background at the moment. It's a very fluid situation. No one can sort of say what's going to go on. But certainly I don't see the lamb or the commentators, and I'm not a person with opinions, I'm just giving you observations of others, so I'm not trying to force an opinion on anyone. The observation that I'm picking up is that this is still around for a while yet. It might be another year, it might be longer. One person who should be in the know told me he thought China might take a year or two to come out of what they're in at the moment. Now, we're seeing signs on the dairy front, that's good. If we start to see signs on the meat front, that will be excellent. It's a bit, but again, what we are seeing is the great agility and versatility of our meat industry, and to be fair, they're brilliant in the sense that they are, once upon a time, I remember in my early days, when I went to Britain, I saw these big lambs wrapped in stockinette things being dumped around Smithfield Market in London. Nowadays, the lamb carcass is split into different countries. You might see a bit go to China, a bit goes to Britain, someone goes somewhere else. So we're no longer exporting just lamb in bulk, a lot less of that. And there are markets which are picking up in the sense that we can sell certain cuts to certain places. Going on about this, I know I'm raving on a bit, but the other thing that really relates to this is with sewers. You've got to start to think that New Zealand's got to think where are its real profitable markets, and they're actually in Asia. And we're starting to see that now. That's why China is important. We can't say, all right, we shouldn't go into China. Well, we should. The fishing's good, why stop fishing? You know, and that's, it's been good market for us. But there's a chance now, and you're seeing other economies such as Vietnam and others that have the potential to take some of our products. It's a long story. What do you reckon?
I think we need to sell them more veggies.
Yeah, we do. But veggies are interesting, eh? But that's the fact that we have to send our goods so far away. Mm. It's always been a problem. I mean, it's not new, and we're so dependent on shipping, good shipping, and timeliness to get there, to pick up certain events. Say, you know, the Chinese New Year. There are festivals that we try to target with both horticulture and in meat and other products, so that we try to meet those demands of those things. And it's a matter of saying, can we get a ship there in time to do that? Because that's when there's Easter trade, there's Christmas trade, all those things. If you can't get there in that time for that market, then you miss out big opportunities. So that's why shipping and global shipping and the global political thing is more than just a war between nations. It's also about the impact it has on other factors around, you know, the food supply chain.
Yeah, very tricky, very tricky. Okay, so what else is going on?
Well, I suppose the other thing is this issue of costs on farm. It is a big issue still, and we've got a new government in place, and talking to them, what are they going to do about some of the things? The issues that farmers have at the moment is about regulation or consenting, all those sort of environmental things, which farmers, in my view, have never ever opposed, you know, a good environment. Why were they? Why would they? Because they've got rivers running past their place and their kids swim in them. Come on, you know.
Yeah.
I get a bit sick of those that don't get beyond Johnsonville telling farmers how to farm. But there are ways and means of doing it. And I think that the bureaucrats in Wellington, with great respect, don't really understand what happens sometimes out on farm. I mean, I heard a great story the other day in France where the Olympic Games are coming up and they coincide with the Olympics. So the harvest also coincides with it. So the organiser of the Olympics said to the French farmers, would you mind delaying the harvest for a couple of months while we run the Olympics? I mean, where do the brains... I thought bureaucrats in New Zealand...
Wow.
You know, but, you know, so let's just stop. Let's all the fruit
stop rot. Those tomatoes growing immediately.
Tell the tomatoes stop growing, please. Tell the barley to not ripen for another 2 months, so we bureaucrats in Paris can run the Olympics.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, you break your heart sometimes, don't you?
Okay, Peter. So we have an anniversary coming up. It's been nearly a year.
It has
since the cyclone.
Cyclone Gabriel, and it's really interesting. I've been up there a number of times over the last year, up there quite recently, and it's surprising. There's some pretty good news coming out of it. There was, all right, I'll go start the bad news first, then
okay.
I can end
That's
up in the
good
news.
That's a good way of doing it, yeah.
So driving around, particularly around the Hastings area, which is badly hit, which is where the orchards are, there were still signs of the disaster. There was silt piled up. There were houses still, you know, broken, deserted, declared, whatever. And sometimes you almost have to look behind the shelter belts. Where the apple orchards were, there are shelter belts. They've survived, a lot of them. But if you peer in behind those, you can suddenly see there is bare land. There is still silt there. What also is interesting is in some of those orchards where they've cleared the silt to some extent, they've planted vegetables. They've planted squash.
Okay.
So there's a lot of work going on to try and get that soil back again.
Okay.
So putting squash in there is a cash crop, they can do it once.
Yeah.
To put apples in, it's a 7-year thing.
Yeah.
You plant them and it'll take you 7 years to get a commercial crop off them. It's a big thing. The other thing that's really interesting though, talking to the people in apples and pears, and just to put a cost on that, this thing has cost the apple and pear industry in the region about $200 million. So it's a big number.
Gee.
It's huge. And I'm only talking here about Hawke's Bay. Te Rāwhiti is also hit, of course, and it's different. It's mainly, there's not so much horticulture there. There's a bit that wasn't so badly damaged, but Hawke's Bay apples was hugely damaged. I think something like they lost 610 acres of 6,000, or sorry, 610 hectares of 6,000 hectares were lost.
So it's not like they lost the crop, they've lost the trees.
They've lost the trees, and yeah, that's the big thing. So if you look at how do you replace that, the answer is with difficulty, because if you plant again, you've got to find, you know, trees to put in, but you've got to make sure the soil is okay, get it back to a point. But then you're going to wait 7 years to get a crop off it. So it's not a fix today, tomorrow thing. And that's what a lot of people don't get. They think you can fix it tomorrow. However, the good news is that the apple crop this year is looking very, very good. And they're saying the conditions have been, well, much better than expected is what the word is from Appleton Pears New Zealand. I think that's a combination of a lot of things, that the growers themselves really got their A and a G.
The ones that have survived.
They survived it. Yeah, some were wiped out. Some will never be replaced. There's an area in the Esk Valley where one orchard is, whom I know very well, they lost 120,000 trees. They'll never plant there again.
Jeez, I mean, that's extraordinary. You can't even imagine that.
You can't. And you just see, I've seen that, and the silt there was 2 metres deep. And you can see...
That's taller than us.
It is tall. You take a pole that they put in for apples, and all you can see are the tops of the apple trees, about 2 feet of them.
It's just...
And that same guy said they had taken 1,000 truckloads of silk out of that orchard, and hasn't even made a great impression.
Oh, my goodness.
So...
What happens there?
So they're probably not going to plant there again. That land is lost forever, probably.
Really?
Probably. No one would plant there again in their right mind because there's a risk of it happening again.
Right.
Probably. But for the others, it's not too bad. And interesting enough, that they say the crop will be around about 21 million boxes or about 382,000 tonnes of apples, which is very good. That's up on what it was in 2022. So it is amazing that they've got this. One of the reasons is, it's interesting, Apples and Pears, I think, have done a great job. They're an organisation that represents apple growers. They suggested, or their advisor suggested, that the orchard spray their trees with a thing called phos acid. It's a plant stimulant. And it was a gamble. No one knew what it would do or not. But it seems to have worked. Because one of the problems with apples is that when they're underwater, there's a question whether how the roots would survive. Would they be drowned because they breathe from the roots? So if they're under silt and under water,
they can't breathe. Yeah,
they can't breathe. Mm. So they're almost drowned, if you like, in a way.
Yeah.
But they've managed. Some of these orchards have managed to take different means to get that soil moving, taken the silt off, got the soil worked again, and they can. You can mix the silt in with the soil. It's actually okay. Some of the silt is quite good. It's quite good soil, and they managed to get this really great crop. And just seeing them, the apples on the trees, they're amazing. Yeah, they've done a great job. So you've got to praise the people that came through and did that. Other orchards I went past, and you can just see some of those trees that haven't survived. They're trying to survive. It's like, you know, I'm trying to climb that, but I'll never get to the top. Mm-hmm. And in the end, they're going to pull them out.
Right.
So what they're saying is that if an orchard, say a block is what they're talking about, has got, say, 30% of the trees are not performing, they'll pull the whole lot out. There's no point in trying to pre-plant. The other thing that is said is that in some cases it's a bit of a blessing in disguise, not a good one, but some of the trees that were lost were old varieties. They'll plant them with newer varieties, which are more relevant to the new market.
Right.
So that will be a problem. That'll be good. However, in the other orchard that lost 120,000, a lot of those were new plantings.
Oh,
they were new trees. So they're back to square one.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are big numbers in there. But I'm going up, I'll be up in the next few days looking at another orchard that lost its pack house. They have replaced it completely. They're back in business. So there's lots of amazing stories here of resilience by people. The issue really is around what will happen in the future, the cost of it. How will people get back on their feet? And I think they're all worried about debt. How much can you take?
Mm.
How much can you borrow?
Yeah.
At the cost of what? That's a big issue, and I think that's something that needs to be looked at. And some of them are quite concerned. They may have to get extra people to come in, put an extra money into their orchards to get them going. Some of them are very, very big. You know, they're huge businesses. They're mainly family businesses, but there are some corporate ones there as well. Some of the mum and dad orchards, I think, will never, ever survive. They'll probably just go, and that's it. So that's that. It's a pretty interesting story. So, very good there. But financial help is the big one from government. There was some I see coming, but there's more needed. And just perhaps talk kiwi fruit for half a tick.
Yeah.
Kiwi fruit, the same thing. I mean, they went through a bad time too. They had a frost, which really wrecked a lot of their vines up in the Bay of Plenty. They got not quite so badly hit by Gabriel, to be fair. They were not the bigger. That was not the biggest disaster.
So this was a frost that was sort of appeared
overnight.
Not the right time.
And it was a very, very bad frost.
Right.
And massive loss, crop losses on that one.
Yeah.
They've bounced back again too, and they're hopeful that this year they will have a very good crop as well. So there's some very good news on the hort front, and I think that's really, again, a bit of a credit to all those who have come back and, you know, put their best foot forward in a sense and got those crops growing again. They're really, they're quite special in a way. I think that's really, you know, important to see that going. So, you know, bad news on some of the meat stuff, but some pretty interesting stories on the hort side.
And there's also, there's a major competition getting underway. Yeah, what's this all about?
Just a quick one there, coming up soon, the next week or so, next few days, you'll see the Ahu Whenua, the finalists for the Ahu Whenua Trophy for Dairy being announced.
It's a big competition. It's a huge competition. There's a lot of work they put into that.
Massive. I mean, there's entries from all over the country, so we'll see who they get this time. The finalists will be announced at the function at Parliament, and then we'll go out and see their farms. There's an opportunity for the people to go out to the dairy farms and see what these people are doing. They're open to the public. People can go out there and see them. And I know from experience they'll be very, very exciting. So that's a big thing coming up. And just one final plug locally. The other week I went to the local, it's the Horowhenua Vintage Machinery Club, and they had a harvest day up in Levin. And I have to say, I'm a bit of an oldie, so okay, that's fine. But just to see all these amazing tractors, to see all the ways that they used to do this stuff, it was quite staggering.
And you don't need to be an oldie, not that I'm saying you are, I'm not agreeing with you, but you do not need to be an oldie to appreciate this. I love an old piece of machinery. Carry on with your story.
And it was just lovely. There was one of the highlights for me was seeing an old guy called Carl Lutzen Oteki. He's 98.
Wow.
And he said, oh, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm still restoring some equipment.
Oh, my goodness. Good on him.
And I think it's wonderful. He had a tractor there of his own. He's just amazing. These guys have hundreds of tractors.
Wow.
And machines and all that.
Yeah.
So I indulged myself. I mean, yes, sure, there was, I don't know, ice creams and stuff. But for me, the smell of the old steam machines going and seeing the tractors and seeing the Clydesdales also ploughing.
Oh, now you're talking my language.
So the Clydesdales, I love, they're beautiful. And a guy there demonstrating ploughing with his team of Clydesdales. So for me, that was my final lovely positive ending to go there. And I felt, you know, I love being in the primary sector. It's something special about it. It's something for everyone there. Even if you're a townie, you can go along to an event like that and feel, that's really New Zealand. We're in New Zealand now. Yeah, it's different everywhere else.
Well, I think going back to the comment that you mentioned before about the Olympics, I think if you are a townie, you don't know where your food and veggies come from, you need to find out, because I mean, that's an extraordinary comment that was made.
It was. I mean, that just shows that some people all around the world, I thought it was in New Zealand, but that's in France, which is farmer mad. But the bureaucrats obviously have, you know, lived on too much, been to Moulin Rouge too many times and forgotten what happens outside it.
Oh, it must do. It's just put an order in
for
we want for tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it'll come, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Madness. Is there any more issues with the weather?
The weather is the weather, so therefore, what was it once said? Economists were invented to make weather forecasters look good. but that's probably unfair on weather forecasters. I've talked to the Met Service, and they were actually right. They were saying that we were coming into the El Nino period now, which is going to be dry. We've had sort of December and January and February have been a bit of a mix sort of bag of all sorts of things happening. It's been licorice all sorts, if you like, of weather. but now I think we're settling into that period of El Nino, which will be drier. And the question, and in those, that the good thing about the previous months was the weather was being kind to horticulture, particularly. That's one of the reasons why we've got a good apple crop and a good kiwi fruit crop. The weather's been good. What's going to happen now around livestock is interesting. I know it's dry in the Horowhenua now. I know my lawns don't need mowing every week now.
Yeah.
Therefore, the paddocks, there's not the grass growing on the farms. And talking to a farmer the other day, he's telling me it's getting dry. We're not at a drought yet, but if it keeps this way, we could be. We're getting enough rain to settle the dust, not enough to do anything more. So that's where that sits. If the question will be, farmers have been wise, I think in most cases, to take silage earlier on when the weather was good and get as much baleage as they can, and they've done that.
Mm.
They may need it sooner than they perhaps think they will.
Mm.
We don't know. And the question is then, will there be enough to go through the winter? So it's always, the weather was always an imponderable. Like this time last year, everything was going smoothly. And then suddenly on St. Valentine's Day, Gabriel arrived.
Yeah.
And so you can never predict. Farming is is like that. So weather dependent. But generally, you don't get lightning striking 2 years in a row. Hopefully, we won't. With a bit of luck, we should be right. But I mean, everyone's optimistic. I think the new government's there. That helps a bit. There's a bit of optimism that things will change. So my overall summation of the thing is, yes, things aren't looking great, but they're not. It's not a reason to sort of, you know, cry in your cups. And let's look at the positive side. There are some good things happening. We will come out of this. We have I've come out of these cycles before. If you haven't been in one before, this is a new experience, but you'll go through this again in your life probably. So having seen down cycles, I know that there'll be up cycles as well.
That's true.
It'll be okay.
Yeah. Peter, thank you so much. Very informative. Things that you just wouldn't even think about, especially, goodness me, you can't control when a tomato grows.
No.
Nature is nature. Okay, we'll look forward to listening to what you have to say next time. Thanks so much for coming in.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the Access Media website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.